Hey, let's give John and Jessica Freeborn a big hand. Come on, big hand.
It's so good to be back here. And so it looked like about two-thirds, maybe a third of you haven't been weren't here when we were here last. Is that right?
Yeah.
About. So we are going to show a video just to kind of recap what we talked about last time we were here in about a two-minute segment. So instead of using that 45-minute sermon time. I had something on my heart that I just wanted to share. I got rocked during worship.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always happen to me. I'm a worship leader. And so I'm the guy that's, you know, staring at the chords and the lyrics and making sure everything's, you know, going good. But it's awesome to be able to soak in worship that's not in Spanish. Because we speak maybe 40% of the language, and that's just not enough to really, you know, get into it. So it's so refreshing to be here.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you got until it's gone, and so it's nice. But one thing, I think it was you were talking about, you know, just give God your love and express your love to Him and let Him ignite that. And I was struggling with that at first. I was like, you ever just draw a blank, you know, and all you can say is, God, I love you, and that just doesn't feel like it's enough.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I started putting the imagery of what Jesus said the Father was to my mind that it just, like, broke me. Typically, we, you know, we kind of draw towards this platonic heaven master called God, who is so distant and unconnected, and a lot of us are getting healed from that, and we're finding this intimate place with God. And so what I visualized was the prodigal father running down the driveway with his ring and his robe just ready to put it on me, you know. And I don't want to start crying like a baby here. But it just has a way of breaking, you know, the hard places. And so I just want to encourage you guys, if there's someone that's struggling during those times of worship and intimacy where you just don't know how to say it, just start regurgitating what Jesus said the Father was, who He said the Father was, and the character that the Father has through Jesus' words. Amen?
Amen.
That might sound really basic to most of you, but for me it was like, whoo, this is powerful. So, anyways, we have a video, like I said, so we'll go ahead and show that right now.
Jessica Freeborn.
And I'm John Freeborn.
March 9th of 2008, the Lord spoke to me that we would move and, you know, go and serve the Taylors. And so I wrote it down, and he got home from work, and I was like, hey, guess what? And he's like, yeah, God didn't say that to me yet.
2 years later, I heard God tell me that it was time to go. We wanted to go down and serve Denny and Danette Taylor and just help out in any way we can, because I think in the larger picture of things, our hearts are just for the nations to be transformed. We're thinking, okay, specifically, what does that look like for us? And specifically, it's sex trafficking.
You know, that was our dream, but the Taylors start schools. That's what they do. And so we went down there just to serve them in whatever way we could. At a service, after I got done speaking, I had a lady approach me, and she had a 4- and a 6-year-old girl that she was trying to give to me. They were being trafficked, and they had been sexually abused. And she, can you take them? And I was like, I don't have a place for them. I'm not licensed. The problem in Mexico right now is there's a lot of awareness, and there is people doing rescuing, but there's no restoration homes.
We were kind of silent about our dreams at first, and about the first year, we didn't really talk about it.
It got brought up in one of the staff meetings. You know, we want to have these restoration homes for children coming out of the sex slave trade, and we want to do it all over the world. And so this lady on our staff leans forward, and she's like, I have 247 acres that I'd like to give to you guys. I'm like, who does that, you know? And honestly, like, I didn't really believe her. You know, that's a lot of land. She called and she said, would you like to go see the property? We're like, man, this lady's serious. And so we went up, Denny and Danette and us, we went up on the property, and it's 247 acres. It has water, a cell phone tower, and electricity.
And an ocean view.
And she gave it to him.
Some of the most amazing things that have happened have been out of partnership with what's happening down there. So, for instance, I'm the worship director of the church. We kind of strategized that it would be awesome if we could kind of trail behind Denny and Danette and plant restoration homes behind where they plant schools, and just to have them work in tandem.
And we will be starting our first restoration home April 1st of 2013.
But we need a ton of prayer. We need intercessors.
Just a lot of covering in prayer. Safety, health, finances.
Wisdom with our own kids, how to raise our kids alongside these other kids who have been sexually abused. We've tried to implement our kids as much as we can in the whole process. So when we went up and walked the land, I explained to my boys, I was like, hey, you guys, there's so many kids out there that just don't have any mommy and daddy. Isn't that sad? And they're like, yeah. They were devastated by that. And so I was like, well, what do you think we could do? And they're like, we could be their mommy and daddy. We'll be their family.
It's a family ministry. Like, we want to do this as a family. We know our kids are young, but we want to do it with them. And so that's been a heart cry of ours for a long time, is we don't want it to be John and Jessica. We want it to be the Freeborn family.
So we have a couple updates since this video was recorded. We said that it was going to open up April 1st, and it has. We haven't brought any kids yet. We're training staff, remodeling the whole facility, and just trying to get it, you know, in shape for a bunch of kids. So
in September.
Yeah, we'll be taking kids in September, and just pray for us. We need a lot of grace, and we need the glory to just cover that place. And, you know, we want to see these kids just healed deep, deep. Those deep scars just get completely healed, and just see God turn them around to be a terrorist of the darkness, you know, to go and terrorize the cartels and the people that...
Did we tell you guys the testimony about what happened in the Philippines? Those of you who are here, some of you remember it. It's so worth telling again.
Yeah.
So we have another house. Our organization has another house in the Philippines, and there is a house mom there that takes care of the girls. And over there, the brothel owners will actually work with you because they just want to get rid of the girls that they can't use anymore. So if a girl has an STD or if she's pregnant or whatever, they just want to discard her. So if they have a place to dump her, it's better for them. So this house mom began working with this brothel owner and said, hey, look, I'll take them off your hands. If you'll give them to me, I'll take them off your hands. So they began to build this relationship. Well, a little while after that, she was at his bar, just sitting right next to him, talking, and she ended up leading him to the Lord. He got radically saved, like radically saved. Then he's like, well, I can't do what I'm doing anymore. Like, I can't do this. So he shut down his bar, shut down his brothel, and he turned it into a church. So. I love that testimony, because for us, there's still hope. You know, there's hope. There's hope for the cartel. So that's what we're going after.
Yep. So she's going to bring you the word this morning, because I'm a worship leader. I don't preach. And I like to hide behind that. So. But tear it up, babe, on Pentecost Sunday. You go for it.
See what I have to put up with? Well, thank you for letting us come here. Just like John over there, you know, during worship, I was becoming a wreck. There's a tenderness in here. What you guys have cultivated, there's such a tenderness towards the Father in here. I love it. Before I get started, I have a word for Kim. we were over there during worship, and I saw a couple things. It's going to be kind of funny, but I saw a couple things. How many of you guys remember the poster with the woman showing her muscle? You know, like, what is it? We Can Do It, or something like that. So, what is it? Rosie
the Riveter.
Right. So I saw her. I saw, instead of that lady, I saw her in that. And then I saw her. I saw you, like, in a plane, like one of the first women to fly a plane, you know, with, like, the goggles and the hat and stuff. And as I was sitting there just talking to the Lord about it, he was showing me that you have a pioneering spirit. And, you know, I don't mean the woman in the picture as, like, a whole feminist thing. I mean it was shown you have a pioneering spirit. And not only do you have a pioneering spirit, but you also have like this breaker anointing about you that you don't even have to say anything, but when you walk in the room, things shift. And this is the second time I've been around you, and I felt it for the second time. And then the last thing is I really, really felt like you were supposed to write a book. And so I don't know if you're going to write a book or if you're going to write a book. Okay. So
I just want you to know, I just recently did my very first prophetic conference as the main speaker. And I did a whole session on women being released into their destiny. And I used Rosie the Riveter.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's fascinating how Rosie the Riveter came about in our country.
Uh-huh.
And how the connotations between that and what God is doing for women. And I'm finishing up a doctoral program out of which is supposed to come a book. So, thank you.
God is good. God is good. Well, you go, girl. That's awesome. Okay. So what I want to talk to you guys about this morning, it's kind of been a theme for us. And then you guys saw the Taylors on our video. For those of you who don't know who the Taylors are, they're actually over at Rick and Melissa's church right now, the other half of our team. And they're mom and dad to John and I, and they live with us down in La Paz, and they're mom and dad. So that's who we work with. And so what I want to talk to you guys about is the power of community. The power of community. If you guys want to go to John 17, 20 through 23. Community is a huge deal to God. You know, John and I wouldn't be able to do what we're doing unless we had a community of people surrounding us. You just, big dreams take teams. I remember when I was here last time, I think we shared about dreaming big, and I think I shared, there's things that I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about dreaming big, but something that God showed me was that these other things that I'm passionate about family, I'm passionate about community, relationships, vulnerability, intimacy, those things all have to work together in order to have big dreams happen. So it really does. It takes community and it takes teams. But what I learned was community is a really big deal to God. So John 17, 20 through 23. I don't have to have a translator. This is awesome. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Let me repeat that. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That they may be one just as we are one. What would it look like if we were one like the Father, like they were one? What does that look like? What does it look like to have such an intimate relationship with each other as they do? Because that's his prayer, that they may be one as we are one. Community is intimacy being established in relationships. In order to be in community, we have to be in relationships. In order to be in relationships, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. That's fun. And in order to be vulnerable, you have to learn to trust. And there has to be grace. Okay? So this is kind of what I'm going to talk about today. And there's a lot of stuff in here, and it's going to get good and might get a little uncomfortable, but that's awesome. So, he said go for it, so. Okay, so you guys, you know the story of Nehemiah and the wall, right? So, you know, a friend of ours was talking about that and about Nehemiah building the wall. And something that caught my attention that was amazing was Nehemiah, he had it all, I mean, he knew what he was doing. Because what he did was he said, okay, we're going to build this wall, and the way that we're going to build the wall is I'm going to set these people up by their family to build the wall. Why? Okay, let's read it. Nehemiah 4, 13 through 14. I can read it to you guys. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with swords, spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. How many of you know when it comes to your family, it does not matter? Like, you will do whatever it takes. And so Nehemiah, like, he had it, because he thought, if I put them in their families, one, they're going to build the greatest wall ever, because they're going to think nobody is going to get in here and take my kids, because he was thinking for generations to come. For generations to come, they were thinking about their children. Secondly, if they put their family around them with their backs to them, one built, the other protected. And I thought, man, there's something to do there with family. There's something to do there with community. You guys following me?
Right.
All right. Connection was God's plan from the beginning. You know, I know we use Adam and Eve a lot when we talk about the marriage of two, but that's where community started. It was the marriage of two becoming one that established the foundation for community. And Jesus' prayer was that his followers would become one. If we go to, let's go to Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Just a second. So we've got this story of Adam and Eve. You guys know it pretty well. And connection was God's plan from the beginning. And what happened was, is that sin came in and it created this individualistic mindset, this otherness, independent, individualistic. How? Because the enemy came in and pointed out, oh, look, you have lack. And he spoke this lie, you have lack. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it nor touch it, lest you shall die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So he was trying to point, you have lack, you're not like God. And that's the first lie that comes in, is that there comes this independence, this individualistic mindset. And then secondly, let's look at verse 18 of chapter 2. I know I'm flipping around a lot, but stay with me. Now picture this. You've got Adam, who is in this amazing garden. He's got all of his needs, probably all of his wants, completely satisfied. He's totally taken care of. He's in this amazing place. And not only is he in this amazing place, but he gets to have constant fellowship with the Lord. Constant fellowship with the Lord. But yet, in verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, I know we use this a lot in marriage and the context of marriage, but what I'm saying is that God even saw that even though man had communion with him, God even saw it's not good for man to be alone. Community is a big deal to God. Yeah. So we've got Western, let me break down like the Western mindset, you know, cold climate. Has anybody ever read the book Cold Climate, Warm Climate? Is that what it's called? It talks about cold climate, warm climate. Anyway. We had to read it before we left for the mission field. I don't remember right now. But it really breaks down the differences between warm...
Familiar.
Yes, foreign to familiar. Good job, babe. Foreign to familiar. And it really breaks down warm climate cultures, cold climate cultures. The Western mindset, we're very independent. I'm very independent, you know. Individualistic, isolated view, cold climate people, they're very to the point, forward, task-oriented, all about getting the job done. And then you've got warm climate culture, which is like where we live in Mexico, where it's all about relationship. It's all about, you know, event-oriented, very warm, protecting the relationship. What's interesting, when we first moved down there, because I'm very task-oriented and I want to get the job done, execute, and Mexico's not like that. And so so I remember the pastor's wife, her name is Esther, and she's a very, very good friend of ours. And so we first got down there, and when she would call, she would, my husband does a great impression. Come on, you need to work. Get up here. Come on. You do a great impression of Esther.
Oh, Jesse. How are you? Oh, it's so nice to talk to you.
She would call, and like the first 10 minutes of our conversation were all about like, how are you doing? How's your day? And for me, I'm like, what did you call for? You know, like, did you need something? Like, what do you need? Like, let me help you. Let's go. And that's just how it is. They're all about like, how are you doing? How are we doing? Let's talk about us, you know? Totally different. The other thing down there too with warm climate cultures that really just took some adjustment to is, you know, here, if you go into a restaurant and your waiter is talking to their friend, the other waiter, and you haven't been waited on yet, how many of you would be like, what the heck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Down there, it's all about the relationship. So you could be sitting down at the table or go to the bank, and the employees will just be chatting amongst themselves because they're doing relationship. And they don't get in trouble for that down there. Like here, you get fired. Like, you get fired. There, it's all about the relationship. So really big difference, warm climate, cold climate. They're very no, I don't. I'll get to it in a minute. So this is how we do it right here. He interrupts me.
Co-preaching.
Right. This is how we do co-preaching right here. In this book, there's a story. This lady, she just comes from, you know, this cold climate place to a warm climate place. I think it was like Costa Rica or something like that. And when she gets there, you know, the pastor and his wife, they're showing her where she's going to stay. They're showing her her room. And when she walks into her room, she notices that there's a bed right next to hers, like on the floor. And so she's just like, I wonder what that's about. And so they said, they were like, well, we couldn't have you stay in here by yourself. That would be so rude. You know, we think privacy, hello. And they were like, no, that would be so rude. We would never leave you by yourself. It's just a difference in culture. Wow. Totally different culture. Why is it that some people don't want to do community or, you know, whatever? Well, community is a choice. Like where we live in La Paz right now, before it became the orphanage, it's a half an acre of property with 5 houses on it. And so right now we're there, and then the Taylors are there, and we've been there the whole time with them. And they live like right outside our door. So we get to do community all the time, very close. And so, you know, why do some people not want to do community? It's hard. It's a choice. It's confrontational. It requires relationship skill sets, meaning knowing how to do healthy confrontation. It requires intimacy. It requires vulnerability. Those things are hard. It's scary because of maybe what people have seen in the past. Like, I don't want to get close to somebody again because last time I got close to somebody again, they hurt me. So that's sometimes why people don't want to do community. It can be slow, like for people like me. It can be messy. Like community can be messy. Why? Because we're trying to exercise freedom. And then not only that, we're being put together with a bunch of imperfect people. So community can be messy. But there's boundaries and there's boundaries, there's healthy boundaries. This is where it's going to get good. Okay, so you guys saw Denny and Danette. Now, the way that I grew up, I don't know if I've shared this with you guys, but my mom was heavily involved in drugs when I was growing up, meth, been married 8 times, prostitution, all of that. So I didn't really have a dad or a mom growing up. So Denny and Danette have really become that, you know, a mom and a dad. They're not just like spiritual parents, they're actually like mom and dad. And, you know, I've noticed, you know, we've grown up in church, and just through the years, and I'm sure you guys all know, community is scary to do in church. And here's why it can be scary, because of a lot of us have seen a lot of bad things happen in church. And what I mean by that, if I'm just going to be a little forward, is, you know, we've seen, you know, pastors run off with their secretaries. We've seen worship leaders, you know, go off with another worship leader, or just things like that. And so what we've seen happened over years is, instead of implementing healthy boundaries, is we've swung clear far over to the other side, to where no, like we have these huge walls up, and rightly so. rightly so. Like, I get it. We have these huge walls up, and nobody can access intimacy with us because we're trying to protect ourselves. I get it. But let me just share with you a situation. You take people like me who don't have, you know, any ulterior motives, who just want a mom and a dad, who just simply want a father. And there's a lot of young people out there that need you guys, that need fathers in their lives. The problem is that the fathers have gotten scared because of things that have happened, rightly so. So Denny and Danette, you know, we've been in this relationship for a long time, and so finally we were all in the living room and we were having a very heart-to-heart deep discussion. It was really good. And Denny was like, well, he was like, how about if I take you out on a father-daughter date? I was like, I haven't thought of that, but okay. And so we decided to go for it. Now his wife's in the room, totally healthy. And with our relationship, we've talked about boundaries. We've talked about the hard stuff. We've talked about what our boundaries are. And we did. We went and watched the 49ers play. I forgot who they played because I only care about the 49ers. So, anyway. In La Paz, every Monday night, they show football in the theater, in the movie theater. Cool. So we got to go watch the 49ers. It was awesome. And that was it, is we went and watched the 49ers, and then we came home. And it was, for me, like, it was amazing. Like, that, it was awesome. Now, can everybody do that?
No.
No. There has to be a grace for it. There has to be a grace for it. But we put boundaries in place so that we can go deeper with each other. A lot of people get offended by boundaries. Like, oh, you put a boundary up. And that's not, we put boundaries in place so that we know there's it actually creates more freedom in the relationship. Stay with me. You have to recognize the grace on your life or recognize the grace on others to be able to do certain relationships. Just like Jesus, the 12, the 3, and the 1. The 3 weren't all in the same place as the 1, right? There's good and healthy boundaries. There's boundaries that are based out of fear, and there's healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries are like campfire. We don't touch campfire because it's hot. Healthy boundary. A boundary based out of fear is, I'm not going to let you be close to me because I've seen X, Y, and Z happen, and I'm afraid that that will happen too. That's a boundary based out of fear. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Okay. Let's go to 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. What did that say? One another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to one another. Okay. If I am not, now I'm not talking about submitting ourselves to leaders. Leaders, yes. But this is saying to one another in friendships, in relationships to one another. So let's say, you know, if I am not submitted to my friend, then when there's a possibility that when God speaks to him and gives him a word for me, because listen, God doesn't just speak through us. He speaks through friends too. He speaks through other people. So if I'm not submitted to him, if I'm not intimate, meaning like, here's my heart, you have access into my heart, you have access to speak into my life. So if I'm not submitted, when God speaks to him, there's a chance that I may not hear it. Not only that, but Where I'm weak, he may have the strengths. For instance, like in our team, for in La Paz, half the time John and I don't even know what the heck we're doing. Seriously. But God has brought these people with degrees that know what they're doing, that are the perfect piece to the puzzle. But if we weren't able to submit ourselves to them and work in community with them, and had pride, pride's a killer of community, then that probably wouldn't be coming our way. And this whole thing probably wouldn't be going. If we weren't able to submit ourselves, because those other people in your life, they may have the missing key that you need, that you don't have. Which is, you know, where God says he makes us strong where we're weak, right? In our weaknesses. I actually, you know, this is Jessica saying this, but I believe that God uses people to do that. That's why we need each other. So, one of the main ways for grace to flow in your life is within the context of community. How many of you guys are familiar with, like, wakeboarding? Okay. So, let's take a boat. And, you know, usually a ski boat, in order for it to run properly, it needs to be in the water. And it runs great if it's in the water. But let's put that boat on the dock and turn it on. How well does it run then? Or for instance, here's another one. One time our kids, they had never had a slip and slide before. And so we bought them a slip and slide. And I remember rolling it out in the backyard. And they didn't know, I hadn't gone out there yet to put the water on it and everything. And so I'm looking out the glass window and my oldest son, he's looking at it. It's all rolled out. So he gets way, way back. He runs. I was like, oh. That's what happens when there's no grace. And if you can see, it needs, the boat needs water. Slip and slide needs water. You know what I mean? And when you've got water, it flows nicely. You've got to have grace in community for it to flow. Let me see. What does perfect love, casting out fear, look like in our relationships? Perfect love, casting out fear. It looks like there's intimacy and there's no walls. There's no walls. Because usually we put up walls, not boundaries, walls. They're different. We put up walls when we're afraid. And we're like, no. We need others' best. Our best isn't good enough. God created each of us to worship him the only way that we can worship him. And what I mean by that is he created you specifically. Nobody else can worship him the way you do. You carry a characteristic and an attribute of God that nobody else expresses the way that you express. It's almost like you're this pipeline for God to express himself through. And so, you know, when we're busy trying to be, you know, Heidi Baker, you know, or Bill Johnson, you know, or Rick Wood, you know, it just, it's, God doesn't need another Bill Johnson or Heidi Baker. He needs you. And I really believe the earth is waiting for the sons and daughters to be revealed. He's waiting for us to realize who we are, what he's called us to do, and to go do it. And at the same time, I need John's best because my best isn't good enough. You know, we're, as you know, we're completely opposite, but we bring a really good balance when we're getting along. We bring a really good balance.
Come on.
Right?
Right.
But seriously, we need each other's best because our best isn't good enough. You know, when Jesus calls you, he's going to call you beyond your capabilities, beyond, way beyond what you can do. Like the trafficking stuff, I mean, we had a heart to bring freedom to children and to bring freedom in other areas, but I would have never thought that this was going to be it. And now, like, where we're at, I was just telling him the other day, I'm like, how did we get here? He will take you way beyond our capabilities. And we're at the point now, it's like, we can't, there's no way we can do this by ourselves. Absolutely no way. We need people. But in order to need people, you have to work with people. And in order to work with people, you've got to be vulnerable. And in order to be vulnerable, you have to trust. But it's so vital. It's so vital. Especially if you're going after nations. Big dreams take teams. Community is being established, is intimacy being established in our relationships. John 15:14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Love the people around you. Love the people around you. Okay, here's a good one. This one got me. Matthew 5:23. Let's go there. Most of you probably know this one. All right. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. I never looked at the scripture that way until not too long ago, and I was like, oh, community is such a big deal to God. Relationship with each other is a huge deal to God. So much so, he's saying, look, lay your stuff down at the altar first. Get this fixed first before you come here and do this. Read it. I mean, I was like, I kind of thought it was completely different. Like, okay, God, let's get this fixed, and then I'll go get this fixed. But no, he's saying, look, get your relationship here fixed first, then come here. All right. Okay. Benefits of community. Prayer covering. When you're in community with people, when you're in really close relationship with people, for instance, of course my husband and I, but I'm going to talk about somebody who's not your spouse or related to you. So with Danette and I, we have a very close, super close relationship to the point to where I can be in another country than her, and I can just feel something's not right, and I'll be like, hey, what's going on? And, you know, X, Y, and Z happened, blah, blah, blah. And I can instantly go to prayer for her. Or even if I can't contact her and I'm still feeling something, I can instantly go to bat for her. And that's the benefits of community. When you're surrounding yourself and you've allowed people to have access into your heart, into your life, it's prayer covering. When we're disconnected from each other, there becomes a break in the connection. There's safety in community. There's safety. John and I, you know, we have several different people that we go to before making a big decision. It was like, hey, can we bounce this off of you? You know, they're people that we've let have access into our lives that we talk to. Hey, what do you think about this? How do you feel about this? What do you feel like the Lord's saying to you about this? God speaks through community. 5 of the 9 gifts are God speaking through people. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, encouragement. God doesn't always just speak through one person. He speaks through community. Ministries are birthed out of community. That's what happened to us. We went down to La Paz to go and help Denny and Danette out, and we had nothing else in mind. We had no idea. We were just like, we're supposed to go to Mexico. And a lot of people were like, you guys are crazy. I can't believe you're moving all your kids down to Mexico, and just a bunch of stuff. And we just knew we were supposed to go down there. And out of doing community, out of doing relationship, what we're doing now was birthed. Many times, and this, you know, sometimes this happens to me, many times God will speak. He'll speak to you, but he'll bring clarity through people. All right. I think I'm about done. Okay. Roadblocks to community. What happens? Why don't we have community? We believe lack. There's that lie of lack, like we talked about with Adam and Eve. Fear. Not willing, not being open to receive feedback. Being unteachable. Pride. Pride is a killer. Not allowing correction in your life. Proverbs is full of correction. Sometimes it's just a lack of relational skills. Sometimes people just don't know how to do healthy confrontation, you know, or brave communication. But pride is probably the number one thing. Declare war on pride. Declare war on disconnection. If you guys are looking to take your city and to take nations, like, I believe it can happen. I really believe, though, it's got to be done in community. I don't believe God's looking for a one-man show anymore. I believe he's looking for teams. Big dreams take teams, right? Romans 12:8, I'll leave you with this. Live peaceable with all men. Fight to keep connection. Fight to keep community. And fight for generations to come. Especially just a quick word to the fathers and mothers. I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't have people like you guys in my life. I have a 7th grade English teacher that lives in Arkansas that I still have contact with today. She was huge in my life. And there's several others. And I would not be who I am today if it wasn't for the Lord working through people like you to speak into people like me. And so I just want to encourage you, it's okay to be intimate with people. You just got to learn how to set healthy boundaries. And my generation specifically really needs you guys. They really need your wisdom. They really need you to show them which way to go. Because they're driven. They just need to know which way to go. So I just want to encourage you guys to father those ones. Because I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you for having us. I'm good. Yeah.